Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I am Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 27th of October.
Ooh, it's done. Thank God.
End of the month.
Well, I'm just looking forward to the end of the year, as I have been since March.
Since March.
It's like, okay, let's get on with this already. It's enough. Crazy.
What if the next year's worse?
World war, famine, sea level rise to extraordinary levels. I mean, by the way, the rain we had, someone on the No Agenda show must have done a little bit of shaking of the rain stick or something down for Florida. We had like 10 inches of rain over the last week.
Really?
Absurd.
Well, it must have cleaned off the streets or made them muddy.
Made them muddy. Yeah, a lot of people are asking if we're going to have a show next week, and the answer is yes. We will be live, sitting in the chairs. One of them more of a kind of a stool, and one of them squeaky. You make the guess of whose is whose. And we'll be here talking about the election, all that's going on, throughout the evening next Tuesday. So we'll definitely be here. That's what we said, right?
Yeah. There won't be any. Well, there'll be some results from the East Coast.
Yeah, we'll have some. All right, so some of the things happening. Days, not weeks to go. We have 7 days exactly towards the end of this election cycle where we're going to have maybe a president elected. I don't know, but
it'll probably be a couple of weeks.
When was the longest time that you recall that there was a wait to find out? I mean, we had
Bush-Gore.
Yeah, Bush-Gore. You know that story where I was sitting in the chair at CNBC. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
So Bush-Gore, I'm in Florida. I'm living in Florida. I was back then I was doing Bloomberg and I'm doing Fox News and I'm doing whatever it was.
You were a big shot at the time.
I was on Montel Williams. I was doing all sorts of stuff back then. So I was in New York and I'm in CNBC. I'm sitting in the green room. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, no, that wasn't the time. I was in the green room actually with Jeff Bezos one time and spent some time with him. That was kind of fun. But this other time, I was in the green room, and the hanging chads were all a buzz, right? And I go, they make me up, they do my hair. We go on to the studio floor. I'm with Bill Griffith. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like a minute to go. I got the thing in my ear, and they say, I hear, just want to let you know that there impossibly is going to be a break for breaking news. I'm thinking, oh, how's that work? So I'm sitting in the chair, getting ready to go. Countdown goes, you know, you got like 10 seconds to live. They count down. They get to 5. They're like, all right, we're breaking. Going to Florida for what we think is a decision. That's it. CNBC over. So
you never got back on?
I was on a couple of times back in 2008.
No, I mean, you never got back on that show?
Not that day. No.
So you were just bumped.
I was bumped. So now I'm walking around Manhattan with all makeup and my hair done. You know, I think I did Bloomberg that afternoon, though. So at least I was kind of done, ready to go. But that was kind of funny back in the day. Back in the day, pre-podcasting, which was a much better medium to talk. And to-
we used to have a bunch of people. And these guys, I don't know if you were like one of these guys. When I was doing a tech TV, they had a bunch of makeup artists that were pretty talented. And they make everybody up. And a lot of the guys, they say, okay, here's what you get your makeup. You can take it off over here. You can do this. You can do that. And a lot of guys said, you know, I kind of like it. And they went home.
I don't know. This is the makeup people that have like the tool belt with all the brushes.
No, they had a big wall of brushes. That's just, I didn't see the tool belt guys, but.
Yeah, it was a fun time. All right, what else do we got? The narrative is changing. Now Biden is possibly good for the markets, good for employment.
How's that going to work?
I don't know. This is the talk is now that, well, if we calculate the Biden tax plan and the employment numbers and we look at all the different things put together, that we will get to full employment like a year faster than the Trump plan that they have. Because if an infrastructure, you know, there's a lot of ifs. If an infrastructure is going to be put into play, then we're going to have a lot more lower wage employees on the payrolls.
Oh, yeah. Is that going to be anything like shovel ready? Yeah,
shovel ready. The old shovel ready.
Yeah, that really jacked it up, didn't it?
What happened to that?
Well, they never, there was shovel was ready, but nobody else was apparently.
There was nobody to pick up the shovel. Yeah, that was, again, one of those phrases that's used to be kind of one of the, you know, just to carry on the theme of something.
Well, they're very fearful of using a phrase like that because it was a phony baloney deal. Shovel ready. That's what Biden's trying to do. He's not going to start any new projects.
But you know, we haven't heard
China.
One thing we haven't heard was about the decaying bridges and the roads and our railroad systems. So we haven't heard anything about that. Remember, that was a big thing.
Oh, high speed rail in particular.
Yeah, the high speed rail and the bridges. Something about the bridges were always an issue.
Oh, the bridges.
Yeah, they're falling down. I mean, when's the last time you heard
collapsing?
When's the last time you heard a bridge collapse?
It was during the Obama administration.
Oh, but that was the one down in Florida.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah, but that was because it was newly being put up, and
there was one up north that collapsed. It was a famous bridge, and for some reason, it collapsed. I think in Minnesota, somebody could have to remind me. Somebody in the chatter room might remember it.
Yeah, somebody look that up. All right, what else we got? Supreme Court now tilt complete, so we're done with that. We got a big swoosh on the markets. They crumpled after news on stimulus, which is not going to happen. Generally, the news, nothing different this week than any time before of the last 3 weeks. And we have the close to the pin closed out, ready to go. And it's going to be running for the next week for Exxon. I believe it's Exxon. Let's see. Markets. Markets update. Okay. Spooked. Uptick in coronavirus cases/infections. See how I said that? See how I did that?
Cases. Yeah, it's cute.
It's because, you know, I don't want to say cases and anybody gets all upset that I use the word case. I can't use that word. It's got to be infections. Infections now, it seems, from the, again, I'm no agendaed. Infections is the right way to say it. You can't say cases because a case is, I guess, as Adam was explaining it, it's someone who is actively in the hospital potentially, whereas an infection is somebody that has, whether they are symptomatic or not, right? Is that correct?
You'd have to listen to the whole episode.
Yeah. No agenda on Thursdays.
The whole thing is sketchy. Let's put it that way.
Thursdays and Sundays at noon, or just play it on any podcast player. New M&A activity. We have AMD now buying Xilinx in an all-stock deal. That was today announced.
AMD. That's interesting. Yeah, AMD. I missed that.
Yep. It's now we'll talk about that a little bit. And this is kind of this is the teasers. Stimulus sealed deal is dead until after the election. Senate's now on recess, so they got their deal done with the Supreme Court. And investors are eyeing earnings, maybe with a little bit too much optimism or too much concern. We have some things happening. We've got to start off. We got to talk about the thing that's just in our faces all the time, and that's COVID news. Nothing good here. The infection rate is up. The record daily count over the weekend. You know, one of the things they're doing now all of a sudden is hitting on this 7-day, I don't know where this came from, the 7-day average is an all-time high. Now, is that because if we had a spike, that 7-day average can stay elevated for a longer period of time, therefore the news can try to spook us for a lot longer of a period of time?
Oh, they're just trying to make it sound as though it's out of control. It's worse than ever. But since the beginning, although if you look outside, it seems as though the traffic patterns have returned to normal. People are going back to work. They're driving back and forth. Highways and freeways are jammed up and during rush hour. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, the Zephyr only had 6 cars.
Well, that was a car. Yeah, it's back up to 7, but that's still too low. Yeah, but that's because nobody's, you know, they've been scared off of these, off of public transport, off of transportation, airlines, trains don't go on because they're frightening the public.
Right. Well, it seems that they're utilizing this new thing here. I mean, listen, if we look at the test rates and all of that, yes, it's really bad around the country, around the world, in certain areas are becoming hot pockets again, or, you know, hot zones. Hot pockets again of this whole thing. I don't know. I mean, and then today I read this whole thing about now they're thinking, oh, your antibodies are going to be, you know, kind of coming down, the potency of them over time. But, you know, we may have the T cells and all this other stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is way too much information. We all have to become scientists on this whole thing. And it's getting, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, what people who are suffering from out of work, you know, in areas that are locked down and all that are they people going out of their minds. Seriously. Very bad. El Paso, Texas, stay-at-home request. There's an important new twist to all this. There's a stay-at-home request in El Paso, but still encouraging everyone to go out and vote. So now,
hey, if you can stand in line at the grocery store,
yeah,
which you're going to be doing,
right?
You can stand in line at the polling places. Just doesn't make just a longer. It looks like a longer line, but it's not really.
So what is this new thing? This is what's going to happen now, that the states are going to request people to stay home, not order them to stay home. Is that kind of the new potential trend?
I think that's just covering your ass. Oh, it's just a request. We didn't really tell them to do it. We just said if they wanted to, it might be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the whole thing is upside down. I mean, this next piece too. This is on Vice President Mike Pence. He said he's not quarantining because you know, about 5 or 6 of his aides tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah.
And because they said he's an essential worker, he could still go out on the campaign trail.
I think he's essential.
I understand that, but come on. I don't care. If you're an essential worker and you have, the CDC says, if you have been surrounded with people, you should test and you should quarantine.
He tested.
But you should quarantine.
Why?
I don't know. So you're not,
a week before the election?
Well, obviously not. Rules don't apply to some people. Let's just be honest.
No, doesn't make any sense to quarantine at this point in the whole thing.
Well, not for him. It's for the other people. Right? It's not for him.
They already got it.
Well, if he goes on the road and he's going to be coming in contact with people, for example, the probability is he's not walking by himself somewhere. If he's going somewhere, he's going to get on a plane.
They should be wearing masks.
They should be wearing masks. And he's going to be in a car that's probably closed.
He'll be wearing a mask too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
If everyone's wearing a mask, it's supposed to be no problem. The only time he's supposed to even separate, if you read these rules that these health departments set down, which I've done in various, I've read Alameda County, Contra Costa, Los Angeles, the 7 feet apart things if you don't have a mask.
Right. 6 feet. Yeah.
Well, 6, 7, 10.
Yeah.
3.
Yeah. Italy reported a new daily record of 21,000 coronavirus cases with 128 deaths. So at least their deaths are a little bit better than they were at the height of this. The health ministry figures showed last week, and they're going to be having tighter restrictions, just like France. Angela Merkel planning a light lockdown. That's the second part. So we have stay-at-home requests.
Oh, light lockdown.
Light lockdowns now.
What does that mean?
It's just the same
thing.
Makes
no sense.
A light lockdown would be maybe like bars and restaurants.
No,
can't be open after 9 because, of course, two things.
Keeping
happen.
The Germans out of bars is like keeping the Irish out of bars. It's not that easy.
Yeah, but the thing is that, you know, this concept that I walk into a restaurant and I wear my mask and I sit down at a table and I take my mask off. What that tells me is that the coronavirus flies at about 6 feet, 5 to 6 feet in the air and not below like 4 feet.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You read the book.
So, you know, you got that. And you also have the fact that the coronavirus is also only out after 9 p.m. at bars.
Yeah, that's where they have to have the curfews.
Right. So there's a little bit of inconsistency. Let's just say
you
that.
You think? It's Trump's fault.
It's oh, yes, indeed. Yes,
what
indeed.
They say.
Yep. Dunkin' Brands, the ever famous. Do you like Dunkin' Donuts?
I used to, but years and years ago until they're no good anymore.
Did you like the donut? What's your favorite donut in the day?
Well, my favorite donut ever was a chocolate dough raised glazed with chocolate on it. But those, very few donut shops can even make those anymore. So just a plain raised glazed donut is my favorite.
I like the jelly donuts. I like just a plain glazed donut.
I don't like
donut.
The jelly donut.
I don't like jelly donuts. There's a great
jelly
donut.
Jelly inside. It's just a It squirts all over the place. It's something disgusting. You know?
I mean, the best jelly donut in the world is in Montauk, at the Montauk Bake Shop, Montauk,
Long Island. I'll tell you this. Oh, I like so a good jelly donut, but not with jelly, with custard inside. I can deal with that.
With like those a Boston cream?
A cream, custard cream, whatever.
Yeah. Well, Dunkin', do you like the Munchkins too, or no Munchkins?
I don't know what that even is.
Dunkin' Munchkins, the little round things.
Donut holes?
Yeah.
I don't go to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't even know they sell.
They have donut holes, but they have this one that's like a cinnamon covered one that, to be honest with you, I think
You're just talking over my head.
Well, it's a little bowl that's just covered with like cinnamon sugar, and it's very dry. I think the only purpose of this particular item is to mandate that you have something to drink behind it, like coffee. Otherwise, you're going to choke to death.
Sounds right.
Anyway, Dunkin' Brands is nearing a deal to sell itself into a private equity-backed restaurant company for about $106 per share. The company's been public since 2011, and they're going to be selling to Inspire Brands, which is a multi-brand restaurant company that owns Arby's, Buffalo Wild Wings, Sonic Drive-In, Jimmy John's, and the Rusty Taco.
The Rusty Taco?
Yeah, you ever heard of that?
No, I never heard of it. It's a place that doesn't sound too appealing.
No. Yeah, well, it could have been called the Rancid Taco, but this is better. But they own Arby's. Have you been to an Arby's lately? Arby's.
I have not been to an Arby's probably for 30 years.
Yeah. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Whether they got the meats or not.
Yeah. Sonic's fun. Sonic Drive-In's fun.
They don't have any in California.
Oh, Jimmy John's, I can't stand.
Never been to one.
No, terrible.
I have been to a Sonic once, and you're right. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, any of those fast food things, doesn't do it. Okay, murder hornets, we have an update, folks. Last week, entomologists at the Washington State Department of Agriculture captured two live giant hornets.
They found a whole nest.
Yes, well, did you see how they found it? So what they did is they captured two somehow. These things are so big, they put radio
transmitters.
Yeah, they put radio transmitters on these things. Which led them back.
These things are so big, they actually have to use air traffic control.
They lasso them. They found them back to the nest. These people, if you see the picture of this, I really encourage people to look up the story on this whole murder hornet nest. These people are wearing, not even spacesuits. Like these, they look like the Michelin man. These white head to toe, very thick, like, you know, like 10 inches thick, like somehow the murder hornet is going to get its, you know, half an inch stinger into in this. So we are getting rid of these. They tracked them. They removed the nest. So that's good news.
Yeah. And that's the only nest, obviously.
No, of course, there's no more.
I have to mention something because I haven't talked about this on the other show either. But so I'm watching. I like to watch a lot of food and wine and food shows on the various televisions. They were in China. I think it was Jian Kang Cook guy was in China. And they were showing all these elixirs because the Chinese are just into these things. Very, you know, snake blood and gallbladders and weird stuff. There was an elixir. And when they held it up, and they never mentioned this, but I could spot one of these things a mile away. It had about 10 murder hornets in the bottom of this liquid. I think they used a murder hornet as some sort of an elixir.
I mean, I've been to China and I've eaten scorpions and I've eaten like pulpa and I've eaten all these weird things that not worth it. I've eaten stinky tofu. I've had some of these brandies that are made with like scorpion and spider. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what the purpose is.
I'm telling you, there's one that's made with these murder hornets. Another use.
And there's obviously some particular bodily effect that happens.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah. All right, on to some other things here. JP Morgan is now, they're getting into the, well, they've always been in the credit card business, right? But now they're getting into the business of smart card phone readers. In other words, you know what, like PayPal and Square and Stripe and, you know, all those other ones out there, right?
Yeah, PayPal's got, Square. Yeah, those things have done very well.
Yep, so now they're getting into that business. Now, if you go to Europe, for example, and you go to a restaurant, and then after the restaurant, you pay, and you say, we're going to pay with credit card, they bring a little mobile machine to the table.
Yes, they do.
And you stick your card in, you punch a few things, or whatever you do. You know, you swipe it, and that's it. Everything happens right there. You're never without your credit card. Whereas in the United States, everybody's all.
Oh, yeah. They take your card and make 10 copies of it.
They're going to go in the back for a while. Who knows what happens? They come back and you don't know exactly what happens. But now JP Morgan's getting into this market, competing with Square and Stripe and PayPal. It's rolling out a checking account also that is paired with this new fintech-inspired service they're calling Quick Accept, which lets merchants take credit card payments within minutes, either through a mobile app or a contactless card reader, and users will see their sales hit their Chase business accounts on the same day. Now, this is important because there's usually a bit of a lag for some of these. The other thing that's really interesting is that the card or the service has what's called fast funding. And it's free. So whereas a business may, in the old days, it would take you like a month to get your credit card deals through. You know,
get the money.
It was a big lag for retail. Now
it wasn't a month, but it was more than a day.
Right. So now this fast funding that they have, which usually like a company like Square charges 1.5% fee for instant transfers, it's going to be complimentary.
Mm.
So they're taking on, they're getting into that. JP Morgan's pretty good. I mean, you know, let somebody else come up with it and then let's steal it.
Yeah.
I guess is what they're doing.
Well, I mean, PayPal, I think, was the first to steal the idea from Square. And now everyone's stealing it. Adding a little this or a little that.
Right. But didn't Jack, what's his name, start PayPal?
Dorsey.
Yeah.
No. Jack never was, had nothing to do with PayPal.
Nothing to do with PayPal.
Well, I don't think so.
Hmm.
It was the Odomar guy and the Musk yep. and Peter Thiel. Those are the big three.
Famous for sort of CEO, chairman of the board, Twitter. He was CEO of Twitter?
What was? Oh, yeah. He still is.
Oh, and of Square. Right. Right. I don't know where my head is at. Okay, moving along. All right, so.
He also apparently is a member of the Taliban.
Oh.
If you've ever seen his beard, he has to be. What other excuse does he have?
That's the thing. It's have a beard. It makes you look smart. You know, and then you have horn-rimmed glasses come back, right? You know, crazy. Quibi.
The look.
Quibi.
You know about yeah, Quibi.
Quibi. Quibi is a short-form entertainment service for mobile devices. Gonna be shutting
down.
Yeah,
that was a winner.
Yeah, shutting down his operation just 6 months after its launch. I never understood this, but during the pandemic, I said, you know, this could something. You know, you got some entertainment. And
if you can't make it during a pandemic, I mean, come on.
If you can't have original programming, short form during a pandemic, the idea is no good.
I will say this, that Adam and I, when we first heard about the whole thing and this scheme, I think we laughed a lot.
Well, the first thing is it was founded by Hollywood producer Jeffrey Katzenberg, and he brought on Meg Whitman.
What a combination.
They raised like $2 billion. I never understood what the attraction was to put Meg Whitman in charge of a company after her previous failures.
I would have to assume that she talks a good game. I've run into these people. I'm always admire them. They go into a meeting and next thing you know, every failure they've had has got nothing to do with them. And they're very convincing.
Yeah. They use like a lot of big words and kind of buzzwords, right? During the meeting.
Yeah. You know, it's not even that, it's subtle. I went into one meeting with a guy, I know it's a long story, but I just say that I was convinced this guy was and he was. He never could produce anything that ever made a nickel. But I came out of that meeting feeling great. I said, you know, he's right. None of this is his problem. This guy's great. And it took me about a month to snap out of it. Maybe he's a hypnotist. I don't know.
Well, it's done. It's being closed down. And $2 billion is...
What a waste of money.
Terrible. In 6 months, $2 billion you run through. I mean, what kind of...
How do you get that much money to begin with? How many dummies are out there?
Well, how about how many brilliant people took all of the money, like all the actors, to create these 10-minute shorties?
Oh, yeah, that's smart money.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, Airbnb, Home rental company Airbnb said last week that it's hiring former designer from Apple, Johnny Ive, with one N.
It's kind Why? Of,
well, because, you know, this is the guy that helped design the whole candy-colored Macs and all the stuff back in the day, right? He left Apple last year, and he is going to help jazz up and kind of get, I think, all of the branding to a much better level. They're hiring like an outside they're creating
an inside
design team.
Sounds like a complete
team.
Botch waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Airbnb doesn't have a branding issue.
I know. Well, you know what's going to happen. They're just going to change the colors, and it's going to be like a
– Yeah, and here, give me $1 million.
Ooh, we changed – listen, this is what we're going to do. I am telling you, if we change the font from Helvetica to a Times New Roman serif – and you change it just to a slight variation on from an RGB color scale to a CMYBYGY thing to a lighter blue, this is going to be the ticket. You know? And there we have it. So Airbnb is going to be coming out with an IPO also. They've been talking about it, and they
have he's just going to gussy up the IPO by being right. A name on the list of people working there.
Exactly. That adds a few $1 billion to this, right?
Yeah, or something. I don't know. Is Airbnb sustainable? Is what kind of an IPO that would be?
Well, it's probably they're losing money.
It's not a model you can't copy.
There is this vacation.
I mean,
rentals.
What do they do that's original?
They. It's one of these things. Once again, they have figured Airbnb is essentially Lyft. Right, they bring on outside people, which in the Lyft case is people to drive with their cars, and they just have a technology to wrap this all together and then bring that to the people that want to use it. Airbnb, they have outside people that have their homes and bring together outside people that want to come into your home. That's all. Then they have, I mean, I had a vacation rental for a while, and I used vacationrentals.com, and I never used Airbnb, but I used that, and it was a couple others. It was a brilliant service. They charged the credit cards. They got everything done. The reservations went right through there. Billing was easy. The whole thing. So, you know, it's just another way to...
All you've done was convince me that this is not a singular something special about Airbnb. You haven't used them, and you like what you did with the other guys.
Right. No, I agree with you. But Airbnb has just a much better global footprint.
Yeah, and maybe.
So that, you know, and it's, but they're losing money. They continue to lose money. So it's
I thought they started making money at one point.
I do not think so. Let's see. I look at Airbnb.
How can you lose money? What is there to, what mechanism are you using to lose money? You're just a middleman.
Well, they're hundreds of million in losses due to the coronavirus.
How can you lose anything?
It's bad. Host of losing money. They lost
$670. This doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't touch this thing with a 10-foot pole. It might go skyrocket for all I know, but I still wouldn't. I don't like it.
Airbnb loses $276 million.
Doing what?
In the fourth quarter of 2019. Revenues dropped 67% recently. Airbnb suffers record losses, and that's an article from August 13th. That's a pretty reasonable time period back. So there you go. There you go. All right, what else we got here? Intel. Intel came out with their earnings. They reported that margins tumbled in the latest quarter as consumers bought cheaper. This is interesting. They sold a lot more, but they sold a lot more of a cheaper, low-margin items because people were buying less expensive laptops due to the pandemic-stricken businesses and governments that clamped down. And now
there's a couple of issues.
What's that?
That I've noticed. I'm surprised the stock went as high as it did. It's the problem Intel's run into, and I think AMD hasn't shown this problem because they concentrate on servers, I think, more than Intel does. And if you're going to concentrate on business computing and consumer computing, we're peaked out. We an Intel chip, a cheap little i3 or some one of those, even the last of the Atom chips, they get more than enough power to do multimedia, stream HD. They're quick. I mean, there's no reason to upgrade to anything. I've got a couple of machines with some really old Intel chips in them, and those machines just smoke. They're fantastic. Mm-hmm. They've kind of hit a dead end.
Well, what about AI? And what about the server stacks?
I don't run AI on my desktop because there's no AI that I would run.
Well, not yet.
Yeah, well, when you show me something that's going to use some computing power, I don't have it.
Yep, it's going to be holograms.
I mean, I'm talking about Photoshop really requires a lot, but no, it just cranks through.
Well, I mean, if you have some very intense video, maybe?
No.
All right, well. Chip sales are booming, but customers want lower-priced chips. Intel sold a higher volume of less profitable chips, and shares were down like 10%, down another few percent today. And then you also have AMD, which came down today. They had a good quarter, down 4%, but that was because of the Xilinx deal. Do I have the Xilinx deal here? Let's see. AMD deal, yeah. AMD said that it has reached an agreement to acquire Xilinx in an all-stock deal valued at $35 billion. I think Xilinx was up about 15% today, I think.
$35
billion? $35
billion. I might as well just quit.
Xilinx shareholders will receive 1.7234 shares of AMD for each share owned, equal to $143 in cash. Where is Xilinx trading? XL.
It's unbelievable.
Let's see. Trading at 124. So there's still some upside, it seems. About 20 bucks if this thing gets done. Although you have to look at it as the multiplier of the AMD shares. If they start coming down, it's a problem. Now, what this does is it seemingly diversifies AMD's portfolio and gives them entry into the automobile business, which is something.
Oh, that's right. Yes, right? That's right. So it does.
So supposedly
they've AMD been angling for that for a while.
Yeah. AMD said that this is going to be accretive on day one.
Okay.
Yep. What else do we have? Elon, he collected the fourth tranche of the Moonshot Award this month, bringing his aggregate haul to $11.8 billion. Since the company recently surpassed the performance threshold for market value and adjusted earnings before adjusted interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Boy, this guy cut some deal. According to regulatory filings on Monday, he unlocked yet another 8.4 million options to the billionaire chief executive officer. Congratulations, sir.
Don't you remember about a year ago they're trying to ease him out of the company?
Yeah, well.
Smoking dope on the Joe Rogan show. I think that was the reason.
Well, it seems that everybody seems to do that.
No, not anymore. Not that he's in Texas.
Oh, he doesn't do. Oh, that's.
Put the kibosh on that real fast.
Harley-Davidson had to post its best third quarter income since 2015 amongst restructuring. I guess the freedom of travel had everybody interested. I want to talk to you about needlepoint bipolar ionization. These are things you only hear here.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Needlepoint bipolar ionization. First of all, it sounds like a disease of an old lady that is stitching. But it's not. What is a process for ventilation? Now, we talked about this, the ventilation concept with Train, as we picked that for the game, right?
Right.
But there's a couple of companies that have this. They have this company called GPS. And the process is a patented technology that produces a high concentration of positive and negative ions, which delivering to the space via the ventilation system seemingly kills any pathogen that's in there, and the proteins. So I tried to look up who else could be doing this, because this could become something big. I mean, if you're in a movie theater, as an example, and people are freaking out about this whole thing and this whole pandemic and the future of pandemics.
Yeah, you might as well have some bogus technology to convince them that they're safe. Great idea. I agree.
Now, what I'm thinking is that we get into the sign business. That needlepoint bipolar ionization is in effect here. Because it's going to be on every door of every major
Why do they have to use the word needlepoint? That just screws up the whole idea.
I don't even understand why that. Maybe because with needlepoint, it goes in and out. Like, you know how you do needlepoint? The needle goes in, it goes out, goes in. I don't know.
So does a lot of things.
I'm just saying.
Well, I think they're going to blow it if they use this phraseology.
Well, the only other company I saw that possibly was publicly traded that had some kind of air filtration, it could be others that I didn't find, but was Johnson Controls, aside from Trane.
Oh, Johnson Control. Mm-hmm. What about the, as an old hack company, they always make money. What about HEPA filters for the big theaters? You know, there's some new... I mean, I have a HEPA filter. I got a couple of them, actually.
Don't you think they use that, though, already?
What?
Don't you think they use that already?
I don't know that they do. In the theaters, I doubt it. I do know this. I have a HEPA filter that is reusable, which is the first one I've ever run into like that.
And what do? You just wash it?
Yeah, you can wash it.
Interesting. What else do we have here as we're going along the list? AMD, we talked about that. Nope. Ant Group, that's the one. Ant Group IPO.
I am skeptical about this operation.
Yeah, what I find fascinating is Jack Ma.
Oh, that guy's unbelievable. I guess it's probably the Einstein of business.
Is that
one
what this
of these
is?
Days they're gonna have to, you know, chop open his brain and see what the hell is going on in there.
Is it that, or is he somehow the guy that the Chinese government has said, you will make all the money, then funnel it back to us somehow, but you're going to be the front man on all of this?
That's always a possibility. And they modeled him after Song, the guy from SoftBank. You know, can do no wrong. There's all these deals. Where's all the money coming from? Where's the money going? How do these deals go on? Curiously, there's some connection between Song and Jack Ma when it comes to Alibaba and the fact that they're both involved in Yahoo, and it's just very mixed up. This Ant Group just doesn't, it just doesn't smell right.
I mean, first of all, it's going to be the biggest IPO in history. It's going to be $34.4 billion. The last one that was of size in that range was Saudi Aramco.
Yeah.
$26 billion. So they're gonna run it on Shanghai Star Market. They're gonna run it on the Hong Kong market.
Yeah, they could. It's because it probably would require investigation on the New York.
Yeah. So a lot of money. Yeah,
but here's
raised.
A couple of things that get me. One is their number of transactions that they do, and then is their claims about transactions per second. They compare transactions per second with, I think, the fastest transactions per second company in it. United States, I believe, is Visa or MasterCharge. And they do like 70,000 a second. They do some cranking out some. These guys are doing over 100,000, 200,000 transactions a second somehow. Now, I don't know how they're doing it. And then the total number of transactions is just unbelievable. And I can see, yeah, well, China's got 700 million people. But even when you comparison, these numbers don't make sense.
Well, again, I something about this Jack Ma, and you know, call me not cynical, but call me, I don't know, maybe jealous. I don't know. But it just seems like either he is so masterful, as you say, that they're going to cut his brain open and you know, utilize it. It's going to be like Sleeper. If he dies, they're going to keep his brain alive. Or it's got to be a front for something else, which – if it's a front, it's still, you know, it's still a good deal, or it's a deal that's happening and it's reasonable. But it just seems to me that how could he have his hands in so many different things
at that level?
It's like Jamie Dimon being the president of Microsoft, Netflix, and JP Morgan at the same time.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. I'm really skeptical about this whole thing and the numbers and the coming out of China and refusing to go public on the New York and having to go do it in the Shanghai and all the rest. It just rubs me the wrong way.
Something smells funny. Fishy. Fishy, I think, is the word we use.
Yeah, fishy.
Fishy. Let's see what else we got here. Confidence. The Conference Board's conference index slipped in October to 100.9, which was a lot of consensus about 101.5, 102. From a downwardly revised 101.3 in September. The key takeaway from the report is that consumers are feeling less confident about the short-term outlook as the rise in coronavirus infections slash cases and still high unemployment levels have contributed to the concern about the job prospects. Probably we'd add into that that people aren't getting a lot of money like they were. You know, if you're unemployed and you're not getting your $600, $700, $800 per week and it's dropped down to $400, probably confidence isn't as high. Just my thoughts. A couple of announcements that you need to know about. No Agenda Podcast. We talked about this many times, but you do need to listen to it on Thursdays and Sundays. Every week, live streaming at 12 noon. It's about two, three, I don't know, sometimes even more of a production. You got to listen to John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry as they deconstruct the news and all the things that are out there. And to kind of dovetail that in, this week coming up, or next week, I should say, on the Disciplined Investor podcast, Adam Curry will be my guest. So we'll get some stuff there. If you have some questions that I should ask him, that's just, you know, burning questions, send them in to me. Send on my Twitter feed. You can find my Twitter at Andrew Horowitz. John's is The Real Dvorak. So make sure to hit those up. Media. Amazon. Now, I don't know. This is unbelievable. Fox Business reporter Charles Gasparino tweets investment bankers talking up the possibility of Bezos, Jeff Bezos, buying CNN as AT&T looks to shed assets and massive debt load following the Time Warner deal. Is that something?
That would be good.
That would be good?
Yeah.
What's good about it?
It'd just be fun.
Oh, you're looking for material for No Agenda is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're looking for a constant stream.
I mean, he's got all this money. I mean, these are all just, you know, chip shots for him. Buying a CNN would be a great idea.
So what does he do? He merges the Washington Post with CNN, the news.
Yeah, I think that's what he'd do.
Right. So you have a lot of money saved because you just kind of
the two biggest bullshit journalist operations in the country together as one. Be great.
Yeah, that would be ugly. Now speaking of that, exactly what you're talking about the material from biased news sources, right? I think we all agree these days that there is a bias in the media.
Oh yeah, especially CNN.
Yeah. So I saw this headline. It really troubled me. It may not seem like a big deal at first, but let me just read you the headline from CNN, and you tell me what may be wrong with this, okay? GOP mega donor Sheldon Adelson considers selling his Las Vegas Sands casino.
I don't know what's wrong with that headline.
Well, Las Vegas casinos are thinking about selling the Las Vegas, the Nevada assets off, right?
Right. Just keep in Macau, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it's Singapore and Macau and Cotai Strip. So here's the question. Why do we have to put GOP mega donor Sheldon Adelson?
No, this is typical slanted. This is the way CNN does it.
So what is that supposed to,
if it was a mega donor for the Democrat Party, it would never be mentioned.
Yeah, I don't understand. What's the point of that, though? What, like, where are they going with that? Is it to be, oh, this asshole, because he's GOT, is doing
that? I think you're getting close to the right idea.
Yeah, that was very troubling. Industrial earnings. Results from industrial giants like Caterpillar and 3M show demand for commercial customers are kind of on shaky ground as the COVID-19 pandemic continues to disrupt work, routines, and commerce. And I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, you think that Caterpillar would have had a better quarter, but I think what's happening is, like we saw during the Great Recession, that even, you know, what happens, think about this. What happens is you have all these road deals and buildings and all this going on.
Shovel ready.
Yeah, shovel ready. And Caterpillar had to take a break. People were like, I'm not buying anything. We're not doing anything at all. It's very expensive, these products. And what do? They go to auction, like Ritchie Brothers or whatever. And then it takes some time for them, people, to go back to buying equipment. And then, of course, a lot of money that Caterpillar makes is on the repairs and maintenance of those vehicles and those, you know, big cranes and things like that. 3M is interesting because they were all about the masks, and somehow they can't make it either. But both companies were down pretty good today. But not Bitcoin. No. Bitcoin up 90% year-to-date, nearing 14,000. Quick, immediate Bitcoin update, currently trading at $13,736. So ramping up from about 11,000 to 13, almost 14,000 the last several days. Question is why? So I think Square, was it Square or PayPal? Oh, now I forgot.
PayPal.
Was it PayPal? PayPal said, oh, they're going to start accepting. And
they weren't going to, it's not just, not necessarily just accepting. They're going to be letting you hold Bitcoin, I think.
Yeah.
It's more complicated than that because I said the same thing to Adam and he was on top of it and corrected me.
Ah.
So they're not using it just straight up. They got some workaround. I'm not sure what they're up to.
This is a time where we ask you and tell you and discuss the fact that we have a wonderful show, one of the longest running podcasts out there, and it's for a big reason. Well, of course, it's you, the audience, but of course also that you are helping us along with this through your kindness and your monetary gifts to the show. So if you have the opportunity, it is time now to think about and to consider donating to the show. Whatever you can give is very helpful, and we use that money for all sorts of things, and frankly, not much left over for the host. So, but it is very helpful. Otherwise, we're also digging into our pockets. So if you can help out, go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the donate button. Thank you.
Yes, please.
DH Unplugged, close. Okay, close to the pin we got. Okay, a couple more things here. The election. More than 60 million Americans have already cast their ballots, surpassing the estimated early votes total of about 58 million of the 2016 election. And that tells us, duh.
Of course, I think that
it's because of the pandemic.
60 million ballots were cast, but I don't know if it was 60 million people that cast ballots.
Ah. But the point is, even if it was, let's just for a moment say it was. Of course that makes sense, don't you think? There's a lot more people that are thinking about not going to the polls.
Yeah, that's what they say. So, but they'll go to a grocery store and stand in line.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yep. All right, we have one Fed Liberic for this episode.
Just one. I think we're running out of steam unless somebody helps us here and produces more than one.
Yep. Well, we had a lot that were for a little while there. You could send on your limericks related to the Fed. That's what we try to do. People love this. Over to an email address, and I'm going to give that to you right now. It's dhemail@dhunplugged.com. Send that, and then we will read it on the air. I'll probably butcher it, and then John will grade it, and the chat room will help us out with their grading too. So chat room, get ready. This one is from Chris Wilding. The money machine at the Fed broke down, flashing amber, then red. As markets retreated, they control, alt, deleted, money flowed, yet investors still fled.
I think this is one of the best limericks anyone's ever sent.
First of all, I read that good. I read that well. It was
because it was well written. Yeah,
that's probably true.
A lot of
true.
The reasons you're not reading them well is because the limerick themselves or itself is not that readable. This is maybe the best limerick we've ever received.
I think it's great. I like that the second line commas that went together and it was like not a full sentence, but yet pieces, but then rhymed.
I like flashing amber, then red is a line. I'm giving it an A.
Oh, that's unbelievable. A for Chris Wilding. There you go. Wonderful job. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned and will disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment along with the performance information from the date discussed as well as any additional important disclosures. I would just like to say something before we begin the reading. Before we begin the recitation of the game, I've prepared a few little things for this. because I would like you to please move down the list. And I would like you to find the brightest green color on the list. And I'd like you to read that to us, please. Which that
yes, is. We're talking about, let's see, this is from 9/16. This is just a little bit over a month ago. I took a Baker Brothers recommendation and put it on the list. It was Kodiak Sciences. It has now almost doubled. It is at 86.77% in 5 weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That was smart.
Yep, that was good. Wonderful. And just if you can glance a little bit lower to the Workhorse Group, which is my second try at this, and let's just give you that little...
Andrew has these little glitches.
Yep. And as I would say...
That was dumb.
On support, this was an EV support. This is a Workhorse Group that you bought. It should have shorted because it's down 90%. It got kicked off, so that's the end of that. You've got American Well, which is down 2. The only ones that are up are, besides the ridiculous Kodiak Sciences, is Medtronic's up 36%. Trane is number 2 on the list with 38%, still doing well. And then you got the descending FVC Bank Corp is hanging in there with a good number. Summit Financial Group, another good number. That's a JCD pick. It should say that on there. TransDigm, I shorted. And by the way, the three shorts that are on here are all doing well. We have 8% up on Wayfair.
Where'd you go? Hello? Oh, we have poor network connection. I'm not sure what's going on there. I hung up on him. I'll call him back. I don't know what's going on with the connection. Mom seemed to...
I was yakking away and boom, I was gone.
Yep. You were bragging too much, man.
Bragging too much.
All right. So I got JCD pick on all those on there. Yeah. So you were saying the shorts were all doing well.
The shorts all made it all doing well.
Yep.
So I'm surprised you don't short more.
Well, right now, I mean, and I think futures were down pretty hard overnight. Let's take a look at that live as we are talking about this. Futures right now. That's not it. Here. Futures down 125 points already heading into tomorrow. The S&P futures down 0.5%. NASDAQ down about 0.5%. And small caps down about 0.5% going into tomorrow morning. Seems that things are falling apart a little bit. And I think a lot of that was due to people unloading into the election in so much as there was no stimulus that everybody was hoping for. I think a lot of excess money was pumped in for that. So I'm staying away from individual picks right now because we really can go either way. I want to wait till after the election and see which direction we're going there. Possibly if Biden gets in, you got some of your EVs again. You got some of your solars. Actually, it was a couple of solars that had earnings tonight that was really good.
Solyndra comes to mind.
Oh, nice. We get Biden back in. He's going to revive Solyndra, you think?
Solyndra 2.
I like it. Is he going to
somehow... probably be based in China?
You think he's going to put Obama on the cabinet, by the way?
What?
Is he going to put Obama in the cabinet? Can he do that?
I don't know. Maybe. Let's... I do have one pick. I want to put it on here. Okay. SELB, S-E-L-B.
Oh, S-E-L-B.
B, S-E-L-B. Yep,
got it. I'm going to copy this and put this down here.
One director, Insider's buying like crazy, and he keeps buying and buying. Why? And it's a stock that's not a bottom feeder type stock, but it's pretty cheap.
All right, Insiders. We got JCD pick right there, and 10. So what's tomorrow? The 28th, 2020. Okay. Any closing remarks? Any good wines you've recently had? Anything that you like to talk about?
You know, I was at Costco and I found some pretty decent wine. They had, I don't think it's going to be everywhere, but it's a Swanson Cabernet that they're discounting by 50%. And it's a Cabernet that's now selling for $15.
Wow.
$14.98. That tastes like a Cabernet, which you don't see at that price range. Most of them, you have to pay a lot of money to get that Cabernet flavor, which is very distinctive to people who like Cabernet Sauvignon.
Well, there you go. You get a wine pick, you know, you get stock picks.
Yeah, we're on a roll here.
Unbelievable.
13 years and no agenda.
Yeah, that's amazing. 13 years. You know, TDI's been also, let's see, 2007. What is that, 13 years?
Yeah, you're on a roll.
Unbelievable. When's it going to end? When are the good times going to end?
Oh, when Biden gets in, he's going to require podcasters to get licenses.
Licenses and have a...
And then to get a license, you have to be a Democrat. So that's okay. I can become a Democrat. I mean,
what I am interested in talking to Adam about is there was something that he talked about how podcasts really hadn't evolved with all the technology over the number of years. And I'm kind of really curious if there's going to be what is the future of podcasting? Is there any kind of technology that could wrap this? Because it's still old RSS technology that goes into the various podcast repository. You know what I'm saying?
Still it's a clunker.
Yeah. So you got to wonder what that's going to be. I mean, Spotify is trying to do something, but again, they're just off of the RSS feeds.
Yeah, but they're just themselves. It's like, you know, they're not going to do anything for the community. They're going to do for their shareholders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right, we're going to end it there. I will talk to you on election night.
Oh, yes.
All right. See you then.
Be great.
All right. Bye.
All right.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.